Hebrews chapter number 2. If you're able physically, would you stand with us? We're just going to read two verses and then we'll be seated. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, how shall we escape? Are you there with me? Say amen.
Yes.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Paul writing here, saying that Christ was preaching, of course, how to be saved. And then the apostles that walked with him were preaching how to be saved. And Paul saying, we heard them. And look at verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There's a song that's sung. It says, Jesus died, so I don't have to. Now, I want to preach a message this morning on escaping the room of confusion. There are a lot of confused people today because of all the different churches and religions and denominations and teachings and beliefs. And now, of course, all the internet teaching and preaching and so forth. But they said it a moment ago. I forget how they said it, cut and dry, black and white. But in that song, it was Jesus didn't make it complicated on how to go to heaven. Escaping, I want to help you escape the room of confusion this morning. God, would you bless the service from here on out? I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would take over. I pray, God, that it just get thick in here with you. And God, I pray for those that are lost that they'll be saved today. Help us, I pray. Do a work, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. How many of you have ever been to an escape room? Raise your hand if you've ever been to an escape room. All right, several people in here. An escape room is this new activity. You know, we could go bowling, we could go skating. Now they've come up with this dumb idea called escape rooms. I've been to 2 escape rooms. Hate escape rooms. My brain does not think quick enough. I can't figure it out. Take the rope, tie it in half, put it over the picture frame, and your next clue will appear. All I have is a rope hanging over a picture frame. I cannot figure out what the clue is. But you're locked in this room with a group of people. You pay to get locked in a room. And they give you like an hour. Well, if you give me time limits, I'm already panicking. And then there's a clue here, but you don't know it's a clue, and it leads you to your next clue. And you know, I'm thinking Scooby-Doo, or I'm thinking, you know, the Three Stooges. You know, they're in some of those haunted houses, but you're trying to get out of this, and it never has made. I'm one of the first ones to go hit the button and say, we need a hint. We need a hint. And like, sir, you're out of hints already. First 30 seconds. I do not like escape rooms. I get frustrated and I just want to kick the door down. Just let me out of here. Why did we pay for this? There's got to be a better activity. Let's go eat somewhere. The Bible asks the question there in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I want to say to you that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room this morning has something to escape. It's a place called hell. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me read you a description of what hell is like, what the lake of fire is like. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 22 about a fellow that wound up in hell. And the Bible says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And folks, listen, this is a real testimony. A real testimony. I was in the kitchen earlier today out in the gym, and my wife had asked me when I come up early to put some beans on in the warmer there, and I turned the warmer up to 250, and the light didn't come on. I thought, well, the electricity's out. So I did what any man would do. I unplugged it, plugged it back in. I saw a spark, and I thought, okay, the electricity's not out. So I turned it again. The light didn't come on. So I went to the other warmer over there, and I turned it on. The light came on immediately. And so I thought, well, I guess this thing's broken. So, you know, I did what any man would do. I just touched the side of it. The heat works, the light's not working, okay? And so 250 degrees later, with drawing back my fingers with nubs, you're going to get warm beans today for lunch with maybe a little skin in them. Most of us in here before has had some kind of burn, minor burn, maybe major burns. But I'm telling you, hell is a real place where you burn for eternity. You won't burn to death. You won't die of smoke inhalation. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The world today makes us think that hell is just absence of God, but we're still going to be with our buddies, and we're going to have a good old time, and we're going to drink beer, and we're going to party. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is a real place. I wish it wasn't, but the Bible teaches hell is real. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of torments. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place that's forever. But I want you to know that just as much as hell is real, heaven is real also. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Listen to a little bit about what the Bible says about heaven. John said in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to this. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Amen for that. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day when the Lord comes back and takes us to heaven. And we don't have to worry anymore about who's the president or who's the senator or who's the speaker of the house or who's lying to us, this side or that side. I'll give you the answer, both sides. But friend, one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to be the one ruling and reigning. I don't want to go to hell. And friend, I'm not going to hell because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And Jesus said this in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a place of beauty. Heaven is a place of comfort. Heaven is a place of sinless peace, a place where Jesus is, a place of reunions with those that died in the Lord. If I could go back and read to you, and I won't, but Luke chapter 16, you may have a family member burning in hell today. Most likely we all do somewhere on our family tree, and it's a sad thing, but there are those that say, well, if they're in hell, I'm just going to go to hell also. If I were to read further down Luke 16, that man in hell said, please go witness to my family, lest they also come to this place of torments. Your family and friends and mine that may be in hell today, they don't want us there with them. They want us to escape while we still have a chance. We have a lot of appointments in life. We've got to be here on Monday and there on Tuesday at this time and Tuesday at that time. There's one appointment that each one of us in this room is going to face, and that is our appointment with death. And at some point after our death, we're going to stand before God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, judgment. Are you listening to me? At the time of your judgment and mine, it will already have been determined if you will spend forever in heaven or in hell. Someone put it this way, heaven and hell are in two different directions. No man can go both ways. And here's what I believe, and I think you do too, those of you that are saved. I believe there are many good, meaning people today who are simply caught in the room of confusion. You want out. You're trying to escape, but you're frustrated and you're confused. Through the door, if you could just find the real way, through the door is heaven. But if you never get out of that room of confusion, it means hell for eternity. And what mankind has done is they've taken the Word of God and they've twisted it and they've changed it and they've misinterpreted it to the point that many don't understand, don't know, or just don't believe in the path through that door to heaven. So they stand in the room of confusion trying to escape. And they keep hearing all of these clues, but none of them make sense. And none of them give peace. You ever been to those escape rooms? If you haven't, it's, like I said, there's a clue here and a clue there, and it's all kinds of complicated stuff. Aren't you glad salvation's not complicated? And you may be here today and you grew up a Baptist or a Methodist or Church of Christ or Catholic. My mother's here today, grew up a Catholic. And boy, you hear all things and you get taught all things and you're trying to figure out, I just want to go to heaven. And somebody says, hey, baptism saves. And you say, okay, I've been baptized 3 times. I should be good to go, right? The comedian that died this week, the old man comedian that died this week, I want him to get into all his life. If you know him, there's more of that story. They had a video of him singing 2 days before he died, singing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. He was a homosexual. But here's what he said in an interview. He said, well, that's what he said on Sunday. He said this. He said, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, he's singing that. And when he gets done, he says, hey, I know I'm going. I've been baptized 13 times just to be sure. And we're going, okay, but I've been baptized. Why don't I have peace? There's got to be, somebody tell me the truth. Wait a minute. Okay, good works will get you to heaven. How many? What kind? If there's good works, who decides what good works are and bad works are? And preacher, I've done all kinds of stuff at my church down there and I've served and I've get involved. But preacher, I'm telling you, I still feel like I don't have peace. Something's missing. So somebody, please tell me. Something's not right. Wait a minute. You can be saved, but you can lose it. Oh, wait a minute. I can be saved, but I can lose it. Oh man. Like I asked some of our family members who live in another state that believe you can lose your salvation. I always ask them, I've asked them this. We don't argue with them, but we talked about it one time and I asked them this. What causes you to lose your salvation? I said, so if I'm falling off a big old building and I say a cuss word, God forbid, but I say a cuss word on my way down, am I going to hell? No. But you know, if you murder somebody, all right, so where's that in the Bible? That is man saying you could lose your salvation, but we will dictate where's the list of where you cross that line and you lose. I'm so confused. Preacher, I want to go to heaven. I certainly don't want to go to a place of a torment. What do I do? I'm looking for peace. Hey, just be religious. Just be religious. You know, go to church and maybe give an offering and maybe, you know, if they let you sing a song, maybe get up and sing. But maybe there's something here today. You've been religious all your life, just like I was. I was raised a Baptist from my mother's womb. Thank God she got born again out of the Catholic Church, got the truth of the Word of God. And Dad and Mom raised us in church. But so you could say I was religious. I could even look back to a time when I was baptized. By the way, baptism saves, okay? What kind of baptism saves? Is it dunking? Is it sprinkling? Is it as a baby? See, when we begin to twist the Word of God, there's no end. And I knew I was raised in a Baptist church, so if I was baptized, that must have mean I trusted Christ. It must have made a profession of faith, because they never would have baptized me, because that's not part of your salvation. That follows up your salvation. first act of obedience to God. But there was one problem with that. I was religious and I could remember some works and some baptism, but I did not have peace. Something's still wrong. I'm in this room of confusion. I don't know what to do. What do I? Okay, so someone tells me just be a good, moral, hardworking person, and I'm sure you'll get in. I'm sure you'll get in. Okay, again, man, that doesn't give me much peace. Was I good enough? Was I moral enough? I really want to go to heaven, preacher. I really don't want to die one day and go to hell. Well, you have to be one of the elect. Maybe somebody told you that. You have to be one of the chosen. Ticks me off that those that always say you have to be one of the chosen, they just assume they're one of the chosen. I tell you what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner that deserves hellfire forever when I look at the holiness of God compared to who I am. But you have a crowd that says that's scaring people into thinking, if you're not one of the chosen, preacher, I'm so confused. I want to go to heaven when I die. I really do. Then you'll have someone say, well, there's no way to know for sure until you get to heaven. I want to say something to you this morning. The Bible tells us this, and all I'm going to give you is Bible. God is not the author of confusion. The list goes on and on and on of people's way to get to heaven. That's why today so many are searching for peace. They're searching for something to fill that emptiness in their life. They're searching for the truth. They're trying hard to escape the room of confusion. Now I want to say to you, God never meant for salvation to be confusing. 2 Corinthians 11:3 calls salvation the simplicity which is in Christ. Heaven is not at the end of a corn maze. Heaven is not behind the door of some escape room. And if you do get all these golden tickets and do the very best you can, then maybe one day it'll open up and there it is. Heaven is not at the end of some religious riddle that has to be figured out. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Yes, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to escape. But salvation, being saved and know it, eternal security, I know that heaven is my home and an assured home in heaven. It's not as hard as many religions and denominations have made it out to be. Stay with me for just a few more minutes. Young people, lift your heads up, young men. Be a man about things. You can't do that in public school. We're talking about your eternity. How do I get out of this room of confusion, preacher? It's good works and be moral, and I may not even be one of the chosen. And if I could be saved, I might could lose it. And you know, I think I've been baptized. Baptism saves. Preacher, are there any clues? I got clues for you. One word. Jesus. The Bible says, therefore God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The most simple verse in the Bible, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, never says a thing about baptism, never says a thing about church membership, never says a thing about some Hades, never says a thing about the Baptist church or the Catholic church or good works. It just simply says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is it that simple, preacher? Because I'm clinging on to the good works. Yeah, it's still that simple. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's the answer right here. The answer is Jesus. You say, preacher, I just believe that you can lose your salvation. No, no, no. Let's go to the Word of God again. The answer is Jesus. The Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. What does all that mean? It means nothing is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to go to heaven one day? Jesus. You want to go to heaven one day? Jesus. You want to go to heaven one day? It's Jesus. Well, I think I'll just trust my Phariseeism. I think I'll just keep going to my church and giving my big offerings. And I believe I bought the pastor's supper last week. I'm not going to fight you on that one, but I'm just going to keep on being religious. I've been religious all my life, and I just believe I'm better than the guy on the news. I believe God's going to let me into heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I just typed up the scripture so I would have them here easily. I've got the reference on there. Okay, I'm just going to trust that I'm better than the next guy. Just be a good, moral, hardworking person. God's got to let me into heaven. There is none righteous. No, not one. That means no one's good enough to get to heaven. For all means all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages, the payment for sin is death. That's that second death. That's that lake of fire for eternity. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, preacher, you have to be one of the elect. Now, I'm not trying to offend you, but these people make me mad. I'd like one day for somebody to tell me, I just believe in the election. I believe that some people are chosen, some people are not. And I want them to say, I believe in that, and I believe I'm not chosen. I want them to say, I don't think I'm one of the chosen. All you ever get is that crowd tells you how spiritual they are, how chosen they are. But my Bible tells me, for whosoever, you don't understand what I've done, preacher, doesn't matter, for whosoever. Well, I've been raised in this faith and that faith and this denomination and that denomination. Great. That's still not going to get you to heaven. But I don't believe I can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It goes on to say over in 2 Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The answer is Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm still settled on the idea that there is absolutely no way you can know until you die whether or not you're going to get into heaven. I don't believe there's any way you can know. Well, as a Bible preacher, as a student of the Bible for 3 decades now, I can tell you what the Bible says just off the top of my head. You can be saved and know it. You can right now, today, know that heaven is your future home. In June of 1997, when I walked this aisle in this church as an adult, already teaching Sunday school, already in Bible college, and I thought I just absolutely don't have peace about my salvation. And I battled it for a couple of months. I'm glad I didn't die during those couple of months. And when I grabbed my dad after he gave that invitation, I said, Dad, I need to be saved. And Dad didn't say, hey, you're teaching a class. Hey, you're a Bible college student. Hey, it doesn't go in that order. We'll let God work all that out. Dad said, well, let's get it settled. And he took the Word of God, showed me some of the verses I'm giving you today. And I'm telling you right now, 25 years later, I've never woke up with any doubt in my mind of where I'm going when I die. Well, there's no way to know. Well, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, listen,
Amen.
That you have
Amen.
Eternal life.
Amen.
Not that you may hope that you get. Not that you wait till one day. See, I'm telling you, all the world says do, but God says done.
Amen.
The world says there's got to be something you can do to earn this. There's got to be some way that you get yourself through those pearly gates. I tell you how, you go straight through the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in our text, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I already said it earlier. Jesus died so that you and I don't have to. Simply trust him as your Savior today. If a Bible college student teaching junior boys could get up the nerve to say, you know what, I'm not going to hell for anybody, then any church member in here could do that. Then any first-time visitor could do that. We're not playing games. We want you to be saved. A lot of churches don't have altar calls anymore. They don't have invitations anymore. I still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. I still believe in an invitation. I still believe that young and old, we must trust Jesus Christ before the day of our death. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?